book of Psalms 119, verses 73 through 80. Psalm 119, 73 through 80. The psalmist writes in verse 73, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I might live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto thee, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would use your word tonight to instruct us and to help us and to cause us to love the word of God and be more exposed to the Word of God, seeing its great benefits for us. And again tonight we will see the benefit of the Word of God for us in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And so God, we pray that you would take the portion of Scripture tonight, bless it and use it, so that your people will have a greater desire and a greater love for your precious Word. Lead us and guide us and direct us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. We've come to the 10th stanza in this 22-stanza psalm, and we are learning that there are tremendous benefits to the reading and the studying of the Word of God, so that we should not just read the Bible because we're guilty that we haven't read it, but we actually see there is spiritual benefit in reading and studying the Word of God. And tonight we're going to look at this particular stanza and discover that the Word of God helps our praying. The Word of God helps our praying. The more we read and the more we study the Word of God, the more knowledgeable we become about God and about ourselves. Would you agree with that? If I want to know more about God, and I want to know more about myself, then where would I turn? I would turn to the Word of God. And therefore, the more knowledgeable I become about God and myself, the more knowledgeable my prayers will be. You know, there's a lot of things that are prayed that, how do I put this? That don't seem to come from a good knowledge base of Scripture. Amen? We want our prayers to be knowledgeable prayers, and the way we become knowledgeable is through the Word. How do I know what to pray for? Well, I become knowledgeable of that in Scriptures. Amen? Our prayers should be a returning back to God what we have learned from God, so that there is a circular pattern, God giving us through His Word, us learning and then praying those things back to Him. And all of our prayers should be according to God's Word. We need Word-driven prayers. And so here in these eight verses of Scripture, we have five contributions that the Word makes toward our prayer life. This is really a prayer of the psalmist that is a very mature prayer. You can tell from the prayer that it's a very word-saturated prayer. And I want my prayers to be that way, and I know you do as well. Number one, a formative prayer. Verse 73, a formative prayer. The psalmist says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." So here we see the Word of God has given the psalmist two bits of knowledge about himself that keeps his praying knowledgeable. Number one, a personal formation. He says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Now we know that God is a spirit. He doesn't have hands. But when the Bible refers to these physical attributes of God, it's trying to relay some sort of information to us. And here I think the idea is a personal involvement. God is personally involved in making you and fashioning you. So this knowledge of God's personal involvement in everything that the psalmist is comes to him from the Scriptures. And we know that, right? We know that. We tend to forget that. Or at least we tend not to make that a part of our prayers. But when we read the Bible, we're reminded of these things that we already know. And God sort of excites those things in our heart. So the psalmist says that his physical characteristics, his personality, his temperament, everything about him has been fashioned by the hand of God, who not only gave us the law of nature of a birth, but he is personally involved in our very formation. In other words, you are who you are, how you are, by the work of God. And we all are like that. So whatever he is, whatever we are, it is because God has made him that way, or God has made us this way. But not only is there a personal formation here, there is a purposeful formation. With the understanding, or with the reminding, or with the knowledge that God has not only made him, but fashioned him, with that understanding, he prays that God would give him understanding. You see how the knowledge of the truth causes a certain prayer as a reaction. Give me knowledge, or give me understanding, so that I may learn your commandments. Now, what does gaining understanding and learning the commandments, what does that have to do with God forming us and fashioning us or making us what we are? Well, here's the deal. God has made you the way you are. You're exactly the way God fashioned you. But here's the deal. God has made you so that you would glorify and honor Amen. That's the making and the fashioning of God. Every one of us have been made of God, personally involved by the very hand of God, so that we are designed to bring glory and honor to Him. And so the psalmist has read the Scriptures, he has studied the Scriptures, and he knows that he has been made. He is wonderfully made by the hand of God. He is fashioned by the hand of God. And God has made him and fashioned him to bring glory and honor back to him. And he knows he's failed. Can somebody echo the psalmist's failings? And so what does he pray? Because he has been made and because he has been fashioned by the hand of God to bring glory and honor to God, and because he knows he has failed terribly in doing that, he prays, "God, give me understanding of your word so that I may want, so that I may learn your commandments, so that I may do what you command to be done so that I would glorify you." In other words, the psalmist knows that God not only fashioned him physically and characteristically, but he also made and fashioned him spiritually. And if he is going to be what God designed for him to be, he will have to understand and keep God's commandments. To glorify God is to obey God. And every one of us have been made and fashioned by God to glorify God. Therefore, God, give me understanding so that I may do your commandments. That came from his study of the Word, a formative prayer. And then, secondly, there is a favorable prayer. Verse number 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Now remember, the psalmist is going through affliction. He's going through difficulty. He's going through problems. And his study of the Word of God while he is going through his afflictions has led him to understand that not only is he going through afflictions, but while he's going through those afflictions, that doesn't relieve him of his responsibility to others. Say amen. Notice the people of favor. It is to God's people that he feels he needs to give favor, right? They that fear thee. He's praying that they that fear God will be glad when they see him. How many of you know somebody that you're not so glad when you see them? Don't raise your hand. Just think in your heart and smile at me. How many of you won't ask somebody how they're doing because they're going to tell you? Amen? It is to God's people that he feels that he needs to be a blessing. It is to God's people that are now his people. Can I say that? His people are God's people. The Word has taught him that there is this bond between God's people. And they need each other and they have a responsibility toward one another. It is those who fear God that he desires to be a blessing to. His desire is that his very presence will bring joy to God's people. And he asks God that the people be glad when they see him. He does not want to be a negative pull on God's people. He wants them to see him go through his afflictions and be glad when he shows up. Somebody help me. Now you know as well as I do that sometimes when we go through afflictions, we're not the most joyous people to be around. Right? Sometimes when we're going through afflictions, all we want to talk about is our afflictions. How hard we're having, how difficult we're having, how sad we are, how terrible it is. And sometimes, even people that love you get tired of hearing it. Just saying. The psalmist here says, even though I'm going through affliction, I want to be a blessing to your people so that in my affliction, when they see me coming, they're glad to see me coming. And here's why. Because of the place of favor. Because I have hoped in thy word. Again, these are people that fear God. True, genuine believers. I want them to be glad when they see me because in my afflictions they know that my hope is in the Word. His desire was that the people see that his hope has never altered. The hardships of life have not altered his love and devotion to the Word of God. No problem has stolen his hope because his hope is not in the world. It's in the Word of God. Do you know the most impact that you can make on people is going through afflictions like a true, genuine believer should, with your hope firmly in the Word of God. It doesn't matter what happens on this level. Our hope is not on this level. I don't care what my buddy Joel says. Our hope is not here. Our hope is with Him. And if you'll read the Bible will clearly tell you there's no hope here. Hope is there with Him. He wants them to see Him go through affliction with His hope in the Word firmly intact. There is something about seeing someone go through difficult times and their faith remains solid in the things of God. There's something joyous about that. There's something glad about that, to see someone go through difficult days and they're just still praising and glorifying God through it all. He wants to make those who truly fear God glad. And should we not ask God to help us do that as well? Sometimes the afflictions cause us to be very negative Nellies. Oh, I don't want to be a negative Nelly. I want to be a positive influence on God's people. Say amen. Number three. Not only do we see here a formative prayer and a favorable prayer, but in verses 75, 76, and 77, we see a faithful prayer. He says in verse 75, I know. Say, I know. How does he know? From the Word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness, get that, God, you in faithfulness have afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Here's a question for you. Is the affliction that the psalmist is enduring unfair? Is he going through this affliction unfairly? Is God unfaithful to him by allowing him to go through troubles? The answer to both of those questions is not at all. Can I ask you a question? What do you deserve? What do you deserve? Somebody help me. You deserve hell. You deserve death and hell. You should have been killed a long time ago and thrown into hell a long time ago. Say amen. I should have been there before you. So anything above hell and death is a blessing. He says here, thy judgments are right. I know that. So whatever response God has given to this psalmist, it has been a faithful response. God's judgments are always right. Whatever God does, it's always right. God is right. Say amen. Whatever he does, he is right in doing it. So whatever, however, God responds to our life is right. So if he sends afflictions or he allows afflictions to come into our life, he's not unfair, he's right. Now if I don't stay in the Word of God, if I don't read God's Word, if I don't stay connected to God, I may not think that's right. That's true. I may think God's unfair. God's certainly not being fair to me. And I would remind you that you don't want fairness anyway. How many want fairness? I don't. We want God to what? Be faithful. We want God to be faithful to who He really is. We really need God to be faithful to who He really is. I need His response to me not to be fair, but to be faithful to who He is. He is a loving, compassionate, merciful God. I need Him to be faithful to that. And his response to me, whether that's compassion or mercy or affliction or troubles or problems, whatever it is, it's always right. And I'm going to miss that if I don't stay in the Word of God. Notice he calls himself a servant. It's the word that is rendered slave. What does a slave deserve? Nothing. Nothing. A slave has no rights. So because he has been reading his Bible, because he has been in the Word of God, he says, I know, O Lord, that whatever judgments are come my way, they're right. And that even in my affliction, you've been faithful. Therefore he prays, because he has that little bit of information now. I pray thee thy mercy. Thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for the law is my delight. It is his faithful response. Amen. And we see his faithful resources. He prays for the mercy of God, that in this affliction that God has allowed to come, even in the faithfulness of God that has allowed us to come, he's asking God, be faithful also as a tender God, as a merciful God, as a compassionate God. Let your tender mercies be my comfort. Let the mercies of God flow to me for my comfort through the Word of God. The wonderful thing here is that God is faithful to us even in affliction. Amen? God has not left you. God has not turned His back on you. God is faithful even in afflictions. And He is faithful to give us tender mercies that will bring us comfort from His resources. But they'll come to us how? According to the Word. How does He know this? Because He's been reading the Word of God. And it has rejuvenated and it has inspired his very prayer life. He knows what to ask for because he knows what God has said. Number four, the focused prayer. The focused prayer. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they have dealt perversely with me without cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. The psalmist has learned that there is a reality that is invisible and there is a false reality that is seen. And it's easy for us to mix up the two. It's easy for us to say everything we see is reality and what's invisible is not reality when it's the opposite way. Everything here is perverted reality. Amen? So he says here, these arrogant and proud people have perverted reality. They have afflicted the psalmist for no cause. They should be ashamed because of what they have done. They have made straight ways crooked. That's the idea. They have dealt perversely. They have made straight ways crooked without a cause. And the temptation is for us to look at the present problems in our lives and call that reality when it's not. Seems like wicked people are winning. Wickedness is overcoming righteousness. The church has gone to pot. All of that looks like it's true. It's not. It's not. It is a perversion of reality. Everything we see is a perversion of what is really true. Amen? And we can't focus on this illusion of visual reality. That's why he says this. He will ponder reality. And how does he ponder reality? He will meditate in thy precepts. Listen, everything here is perverted reality. The only thing that is real and true is this. That's it. Everything here is tainted with sin and selfishness and ungodliness. This is the only thing that I know of that we have here on earth that is perfect. Amen? It is God's Word. So, in our afflictions, in our troubles, our focus must remain on the Word of God. That's where we find unperverted reality. That's where we find truth. That is where we must focus ourselves. We must focus on the Word so that we are not tempted to focus on our troubles and our problems. That which is seen is not reality, but the invisible that we can't see, that's the reality. You ever think that when you're going through trouble, where's God? Why is God not, why doesn't God care? Why is God not moving in my life? Where's God? See, you can't see God moving. You can't see what God's doing. You can't see God putting 1,000 pieces into place for your good. You can't see that. All you see is the trouble. The trouble's not the reality. What you can't see God doing is the reality. And you can't focus on what you see. So he says, I learned that from the Bible. So I started praying that. God, help me focus on your word because it is reality. Help me stay focused on your word. That's reality. Everything here is perverted reality. Amen? Number 5. Verses 79 through 80, a fearful prayer. Look what he says. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. We come to the end of this word-informed prayer, and it ends with a request to help him with his fear. And this is his fear. His fear is that those who are God's people, those who fear God, those who know God's word will not turn to Him for help. In other words, he desires to be spiritually helpful to God's people and he is fearful that he won't be. Is that a fear for you? I'm supposed to be a help. I'm supposed to be an encouragement. I'm supposed to be responsible. I'm supposed to be here for you. Do you ever fear you won't? That's his fear. Let those who fear thee turn unto me. When someone needs encouragement, I want them to come to me. When somebody needs biblical guidance, I want them to come to me. When somebody needs help, I want them to come to me. And my fear is that they'll turn to others. My fear is that I'll wind up not being any spiritual help to anyone. Now that flies in the face of our individualistic, selfish society in which we live, where we always want help and never want to be the one that helps. The psalmist here has dove into the Word of God and he has come to this understanding that he is responsible to help God's people. He wants to be an encouragement. He wants to be a help. He wants to be a guide. If they have questions about the Word of God, he wants to be able to answer those things. If they need guidance, he wants to be able to point them in the right directions. His fear is they won't turn to him. Maybe the fear is because of his affliction. Listen, if you don't handle affliction right, why would anybody going through affliction want your advice? Somebody help me. If you're fearful and fretting and crying through affliction, Why would someone seek encouragement from that? So his fear is that he has this responsibility to be an encouragement, to be a help, to be there for God's people, and they won't turn to him. They won't trust him. They won't seek him. That should be a fear in every one of us. Should be a fear in every one of us that there would be a need not expressed. That there would be encouragement needed and not sought. That there would be guidance that is desperately needed and we weren't consulted. Amen? His fear is that he has a responsibility to be spiritually helpful and he might not be. He got that from the Word of God. And so his prayer is this: let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. He understands this. To be spiritually helpful, you must be spiritually healthy. To be spiritually helpful, you must be spiritually healthy. Say amen. How many of you would take the advice of a disease you have from a man who's dying of the disease? Someone's dying from a disease and you got it and you go to him and he says, well, let me tell you what I've done. I don't want to hear that advice, right? The psalmist knows that if he is going to be of a spiritual help to God's people, he has to be spiritually healthy. How can I offer guidance when I don't even read the Word of God? I don't study the Word of God. How can I be of an encouragement when I don't draw my own encouragement from the Word of God? He can't be a help to people, and people are not going to turn to him if his heart is not sound in the Word of God. Now, we're talking about God's people who truly fear God, right? Who really want not this pop psychology junk that's going on. They really want guidance from the Word. They really want to know what God wants them to do. They really want to know what's pleasing to God. How are we going to tell them if we don't ever know and we don't ever read and study our Bibles? He fears that he will make shipwreck of his life and bring shame to himself and God. Let me say this. For God's people to be spiritually unhelpful, that's spiritually shameful. Can I say that again? For God's people to be spiritually unhelpful, that is spiritually shameful. For someone to come to us and need guidance from the Bible and we don't have a clue. Or someone needs encouragement and we encourage them some other way except by the Scripture. Or somebody needs some sort of help and we give them some sort of help other than Scripture. That's shameful of us. Say amen. I had a lady in my church in Virginia, and another lady asked her advice, and she gave her terrible advice. She was going to do something and miss church because of this. It wasn't something needed. It was just something she was going to do. And she says, I really don't want to miss church over it. I'm struggling with going or not going, and I don't want to miss church. You know what the lady said? Why don't you just go on, honey? God will understand. And I thought, boy, that's great advice. Scriptural, unhelpful advice. Say amen. And the psalmist says, I'm scared to death. Somebody won't even turn to me, won't even come for me to help them because they know I'm not spiritually fit to help them. Understand this. If you want advice on working out, I'm the wrong person to ask. right? Why would you ask me about the machines at the Y? You think I've been there? Right? You can look at me and say, don't ask him. Now, if you're asking me what the best donuts at Krispy Kreme are, I'm your man. Right? You know, people know pretty quickly if you're spiritually fit or not. And he realizes he must stay spiritually fit in the Word of God if he hopes to be of a spiritual help to those who might turn to him. You remember in the Bible, what's it say? Be ready, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies in you. I think that's how we're supposed to evangelize. We're to always be preparing and be ready in case God sends someone our way needing to hear the truth. So that we don't say, hang on, brother, I'm going to call the preacher. No, you should be able to help them. Say amen. His prayer is, I think, that God would not set him on a shelf and he'd be unusable. I think the most miserable Christian life would be to be put on a shelf and not be used of God. I think it'd be miserable. His prayer is, God, don't put me on a shelf, but use me. Help me to be a help to others. And I know that if I'm going to be a help to others, I need my heart to be sound in the statutes of the Word of God. Help me not be ashamed. And help me not bring shame to you. Amen? You see, it is the Word of God that informs our very prayer life on what we should be praying. Before we pray, we should be in the Word of God. And the Word of God for that day will give us direction on what we ought to pray. Amen? But the more we're in the Word of God, the more we are informed and knowledgeable about ourselves and God, the more our prayers will be knowledgeable about ourselves and God. And the more you're in the Word of God, you know, the more things you're going to pray for, they'll be more spiritual than physical. I can tell, right, when I haven't been in the Word of God because my prayers will be physical, not spiritual. But when I'm reading the Word of God, I am confronted with spiritual problems, spiritual truths that I need to be much in prayer for. The Word of God, a help to our prayer life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may You bless Your Word. May we see that even our speaking to You is influenced in a great deal by Your speaking to us. May we respond. May our prayers be a response to the Word of God that has made us knowledgeable about ourselves and about God, so that our prayers are directed by the Word and not by our feelings, our emotions, our felt needs. May the Word of God be that which drives and directs our very prayers. And may we be fearful of not being a help to others, and that fear would drive us to the Word of God to be sound in our own hearts. Bless us and help us, I pray. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen.